The book of Acts, chapter 20. I thought about doing my patriotic duty today, and maybe I better not, but I don't always do what I should do, but just to pass on some advice from one of our great medical advisors is that there's something to be said about America's independence and Alaska's independence, but now you need to do what you're told. And when I was a little kid, those words could only come from my mom and dad. Otherwise, it was Fist City. But may God use all this to bring us to knees as a nation and further the gospel. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21 has kind of been a theme verse that we've been looking at for a good while, where Paul explains to the Ephesians, he's called the preachers down from Ephesus to the seacoast, and he's rehearsing his ministry. And he says in verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, salvation is for all mankind, both Jews and Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul said, my message, when you just boil it right down to the very core of my message from God, is that there needs to be repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are those today who want to say that repentance is just changing from unbelief to belief, and that's what faith is. And so there's been a good deal of confusion, and we've talked about that at length. And this morning we're going to look, go from repentance to saving faith. And a lot of this is going to dovetail together, because actually repentance and then faith are not two separate things. They're a part of the equation of salvation. And that without true repentance, there is no salvation. And without true faith, there is no salvation. And we're going to examine a little bit about saving faith today. One of the great verses of the Bible concerning faith is in Ephesians chapter 2, if you'll go with me over there. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Also, faith, the word faith is not used, but the word believe in Acts, when the Philippian jailer came out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so we've run this around for a while, and it's kind of amazing, I was thinking today, how that the very basic things about Christianity, repentance and faith, how they've been so much underneath attack. I mean, Satan knows exactly where to send his arrows and where to send disinformation. And it has occurred in these two areas. And it's really not that difficult. I want to, before we just break down some things about faith, I want to talk about the two major errors when it comes to faith. There's the idea that all faith is the same. There's only one kind of faith, and all faith is the same. And we mentioned to you this before, where the head of Grace Evangelical Society said, faith is faith. Saving faith is not some special variety of faith. Faith that delivers from temporal judgment is not different than faith that the sun is shining. Faith is faith. Well, you know, that, I mean, even that, I mean, there's so much wrong with that, but the fact that the sun is shining is not faith. That's just truth. I mean, that's just a fact. Truth is based upon facts. And if the sun's shining, it doesn't take, I don't have to go out in the morning and have faith that the sun is shining. It's just fact that it is shining. But this idea that faith is only a matter of simple belief and there's all faith is faith, of course, is not biblical. And we pointed out to you that if you go back to the book of Luke, chapter 8, Luke's account of the parable of the sower. But Luke chapter 8 and verse 13 says, then on the rock are they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So he says that their faith, their believing, was for a while. And so all faith is not faith. In fact, James takes a good deal of time to point out that a faith that doesn't produce works is not a genuine faith. And we showed to you how that in the book of John, early parts of the book of John, many people followed the Lord because of his miracles. And even we find that Nicodemus said, he comes to the Lord and said, we know you must be from God because of these things that you're doing, these miracles that you're doing. And so they were believing in him, but there wasn't a belief that was a salvation belief, because the Lord turns to Nicodemus and instead of saying, oh, I'm so glad that you see that I'm from God and you see that these miracles are supernatural. No, he the first words he says to Nicodemus is that you must be born again. And even though Nicodemus came to him and he was believing some things about him and believing that God had his hand upon him, he was not yet saved. And so this idea that all faith is faith is a spurious idea. And I had more notes on this, but when it didn't transfer over from my house computer to my church computer. But anyway, that's what it is. Now, the second idea that's a wrong idea concerning faith is in this passage that we read. Go back with me to Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Misinformation or the wrong view, it centers on that word that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. What does that refer to? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Well, that, I'm not real good in English, but of course that is a pronoun, and so it has to be speaking about some kind of antecedent. The closest word to that is faith. And so there's a group called Calvinists. Calvinists believe that saving faith is a gift from God, that God chooses a specific number or a specific person to receive that faith. And that only those who receive faith as a gift from God, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Only those who receive the gift of faith will be born again. It's the idea that God has selected some to be saved, and they wouldn't say he selected others to be lost. They would say God has selected some to be saved, and others are just going to reap the consequences of their sinful life. And it wasn't as though God, you know, the basic problem is not that God didn't choose them, but the basic problem is that they're sinners and they're just getting what they deserve. And that's held by a prominent group of people. And I'm noticing on Facebook, at least some of the things that, you know, come into my devices, that Calvinism spirit is growing more and more. And so Calvinists will admit that the natural person born in this world, he can put faith in a person, he can put faith in his equipment, his car, or his animal, yet he can't put faith in Jesus Christ, that he is dead in trespasses and sin, and so a dead person can't do anything. A dead person spiritually is dead, and the argument makes you can see that it has as a degree of sensibility about how they present it, but it has no depth of truth in it. When the Bible talks about being dead in trespasses and sin, it doesn't talk about ability, but it talks about relationship. That death is separation. When I die physically, my soul and body separate. When I'm dead spiritually, I'm separated from God. And to say that a person who is dead in trespasses and sin cannot exercise faith until God gives it to him, you could also say that a person who is dead in trespasses and sin cannot sin either. You know, if he's dead, he doesn't even have the ability to make decisions. I can't get my dead dog to go fetch the pheasant that I shot. And a dead person in sin can't sin either. And so they misdefine what death is. But what is that referring to? It looks like that it could be referring to faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Now, when... I hate to try to be an English teacher. When pronouns, the antecedent of the pronoun, they must agree in person and number. And so, if I said, let's see, what should I say? If I said, she went to the store, or if I said, Chris, they went to the store, that's not proper English unless Chris was Christy. So it has to agree in person, and it has to agree in number. Person, masculine person is he. A feminine is she, and a neuter is it. Now, in the Greek language and in our language, some things are masculine and feminine that are not really human. Like we talk about the ship, we talk about a ship being in the feminine, that she's a good ship. Well, we really know that a ship is it's a neuter, but sometimes that happens. And so it has to agree in person and number. And so when we come to the word that does not agree in person and number and in grammar with faith, but it agrees with being saved. Where it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves. That refers to salvation. It would be said something like this: for by grace are you saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves. This salvation is the gift of God. This salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And that is the meaning of the verse. Now, we can go on and understand that absolutely has to be the meaning of the verse, that God didn't just choose some to be saved and others to be lost. And actually what the Calvinist believes, he believes that you're dead in trespasses and sin, and until God comes and makes you alive, you cannot even receive faith. You cannot even believe by faith. That what they actually believe is regeneration takes place before salvation. Crazy. And the twisting of the scripture. But how do we know that there's others, there's not just a few that's chosen? Well, let's look at some verses here. Go back to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Verse 43. To him gave all the prophets witness, that is, Jesus Christ, to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. The word whosoever is all encompassing. If we go over there today and we're having tacos today, and there's somebody who's brought a special Hispanic food, and they can say, whoever wants some can have some, except Pastor Humphrey. Well, that just destroys the whole meaning of whosoever. Whosoever. Look in Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. Romans 10 and 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then in 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Revelation 22 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And so this idea that faith is simply that all faith is the same, and that faith is just a matter of what we identified in our lessons as intellectual consent, or a little intellectual assent, is faith. No, there's more to faith than that. Look over a verse I didn't use last week. We're talking about repentance and this idea that people say, well, excuse me. Oh, that come out good on the mic, didn't it? That this idea that there's no turning from sin and repentance. We went over and talked at length about in Genesis chapter 2, where it talks about those who shake their fist against God. And then at the last it says, kiss the Son. And we talked to you how that term kiss means to embrace him as a king. And it talks about how those that do are going to be blessed. Well, that's more than just intellectual assent. When I embrace the Son as my Savior, when I embrace Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it has more to do than just my mind. It has to do with my will and my heart and my trusting Him as my Savior. And then the idea taught by Bible Baptists and others that believe that repentance is simply going from belief to unbelief is that repentance that has nothing to do from turning from your sin. And we know that salvation is not me quitting this and quitting that. That's what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works. But there is a heart to turn. And 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, Paul, remember, as Pastor has been preaching through this, Paul was concerned about the true salvation of these people in Thessalonica. And when he got news back at what had happened, he's really pleased. And he says that, you know, you've been examples in verse 7 to all that believe in Macedonia. And so there are an exemplary church, a church to be patterned after. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And so faith here is not just going from unbelief to belief, but faith was to Godward. I mean, there's something that's embraced here besides just intellectual assent. And then he adds this, and I think it's very important. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That there is a turning from sin. They turned to God from idols. And so faith and repentance has an element to it that I want to forsake sin. I want God to take me and grant me repentance and turn me from sin. So, what is faith? And I know I'm preaching to the choir mostly, but it's important to understand that faith is not just intellectual assent. It's not believing historical fact. It's not to believe that God, Christ died on the cross and He rose again. Even the devils believe that. It's not like believing in George Washington or some other historical figure. But it has to do with this idea of trust. And it's amazing. The more I read about this, the more shocking you become. But there's actually, and I had a quote that didn't transfer over, but this guy, he comes right out and says that saving faith is not trust. It's just intellectual assent. But when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it for? What are we being saved from? In John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth, that's faith, in Him should not perish. That there's something to be afraid of. In John 3:36, it talks about how if you don't believe, the wrath of God abides upon us. And so saving faith is a release from the wrath of God, not just intellectual assent. And unless I believe that the wrath of God's abiding upon me, then I have no need to repent of my sins and trust in Him. And so this faith that it's talking about is much more than just having the same kind of faith that the sun's shining today. That's ridiculous. I mean, where the shock would come if the sun's not shining today. It's just a matter of fact. Okay, now, when we talk about saving faith, one of the things we could say is that The saving faith is mixed. That it's not saving faith plus. That's exactly what Ephesians is saying. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's an undivided faith. Look over in John 14. Let's see. That's not. I got the wrong reference here. Where does it say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 4. Is it 14? Well, that's what it says right here. Oh, I'm looking at 15. All right. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is very exclusive. We live in a day when everybody wants to get along and be all inclusive. But the Bible is very exclusive. And saying here, Jesus, in his arrogance, is saying, I'm the only way. But it's not arrogance, is it? It's the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way for salvation than through Christ. It's not going to be in church attendance. It's not going to be in turning over a new leaf. It's not going to be in activity that we do. But it's undivided. It's unmixed. It's not Christ plus something. And born into an independent Baptist family, taken to church as a very young person all of my life, and growing up underneath those truths, you naively assume, well, that's what everybody believes. Mm-hmm. That's not what everybody believes. And in fact, if you begin to study the Protestant religions, you'll see that they link baptism to salvation constantly. But salvation is in the Lord. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over in Acts chapter 4. And verse 12. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation, and the salvation is from sin, in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That there's a need for salvation. Salvation is only in one name. And salvation is a must. And so, it's undivided. We've mentioned this. It's unmixed. Salvation is a trust. Though you're not going to find the word trust very often in the Bible. I mean, we find it in the Old Testament, kind of in the context of say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, acknowledge him in all thy ways. But when we talk about trust, we simply are going beyond what we've said, this mental, intellectual assent. And so, We have to come down to asking ourselves, what am I counting on to get to heaven? What am I counting on to have my sins removed as far as the east is from the west? What am I trusting in? And this word trust is a weighty word. Well, I hope to get to heaven. Well, that's not trust. I expect to get to heaven. Well, that's not trust. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against the day of judgment. That is trust. It said, no, so. The thing that should identify you in comparison to the rest of the world is that you have a no-so salvation. That I know that my Redeemer liveth. And in my flesh, I will see God. Job, way back there. And so it's a trust. It's a trust, trusting in him. It's like getting in a boat and trusting it to carry you across. The illustration of, you know, trusting the chair. And I've told you before how I got all carried away one day and jumped up on the chair and the chair broke. And I had to look for a new illustration or say, yeah, that, you know, that's the way it is without being born again. And so it's a trust. It's more than giving mental assent. One of the things that it says, I had years ago, I was getting a haircut in this small town where I was filling in preaching, and the barber he had some issues. And in fact, you kind of were happy to get out of there with having all your ear in place. But he said, "How do you know?" He knew I was preaching there, and he said, "How do you, you know, do you know how you can know that if you're saved and going to heaven?" And he says, "If you can say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," he was quoting something out of one of the first chapters in 1 Corinthians. But if you read that verse, I shouldn't even brought it up because I don't know where it's at, but it says, "By the Spirit of God, we call Christ." We can call him our Savior, our Lord, or however it's worded. So salvation is much more than saying some words, agreeing that Christ died on the cross, that he was buried and he rose again the third day. Salvation is not only an unmixed and it's a trust, but salvation also is, I'm jumping ahead on it, it's a convinced faith. That I know whom I have believed. Look over in 1 John chapter 5. Well, let's first go to John chapter 6. John 6 and verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That little word sure is really important, that I am sure. I'm absolutely sure that you're who you said you are. I'm absolutely sure. Well, how am I sure? Because of the truth that the Bible conveys, because of my changed life, that I'm a new creature. I am convinced that people, you'll often hear people who got into religion, and they'll say, well, you know, I tried that for a while, but it didn't work for me. Well, Jesus is not someone to be tried. He's someone to be trusted. He's someone to take over. And so people, I mean, we've seen them constantly here. People come and go. One time a girl showed up here, seemed to be very, very attentive and even gave a little bit of a testimony when I talked to her. And then when the preaching got hot, that was the last we saw of her. Because she was trying out. It's like you're trying out for the hockey team. I've tried this and I've tried that, and none of this really satisfies me. So let me try Jesus for a while. Let me try this religion for a while and see what it can do for me. But salvation is not about just seeing what God can do for you. Salvation is about committing yourself to the King, to coming as it says there in Psalms 2, I'm going to embrace the Son. I'm going to acknowledge the Son. I'm going to trust in the Son. And so it's a convinced faith. 1 John chapter 5. Peter said, and are sure, we believe in and are sure that thou art the Christ. And then 1 John chapter 5, and this is a record, verse 11, and this is a record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so it's a book written to help us to know, you know. It talks about loving truth. It talks about loving the brother. It gives us many different things to help us identify that we're truly saved. And if we're not saved, those things are given that you might believe. And so the issue of 1 John is that no one leaves this world thinking that they're saved when they're really lost. No one leaves this world thinking they're lost when they're really saved. The same Spirit of God who reproves the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come is the same Spirit of God that says that his Spirit communes with my Spirit, that we're the sons of God. And so it's a convinced faith. If you're not absolutely convinced, then you need to read 1 John. And if you're still not absolutely convinced, maybe you really need to look at what kind of faith you had. Did you put it in the Lord? Are you trusting in the Lord and Him only? And so it's a convinced faith. It's also a receiving faith it's not just believing in a historical person. It's having to do with trust. But you know, we say we receive Christ as our personal Savior. Well, what does all that mean? It's all kind of words that all explain the same thing. But it means that I acknowledge Him, you know? I acknowledge Him for who He is. We don't ever make the Lord the Lord. When people say you need to make Jesus Christ your Lord. Well, let me say to you that it doesn't matter what you do. He's the Lord. He's always going to be the Lord. But you need to acknowledge the fact that I'm surrendering to His Lordship in my life, that I am embracing the Son, that I'm kissing the Son, that is more, again, than just a historical belief in Him. Look over in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What we're trying to say here when we say it's a receiving faith, we're simply trying to say that salvation is a matter of the will. And He's saying, come to me. I'm going to will to go to Him. I'm going to will to trust in Him. And so, when we talk about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we see that it's a faith that everyone has the ability to exercise. It's not a faith that's just granted to a specific number of people that God has chosen to save, and others He's left unsaved. That whole thing. Do you understand how much that idea that only those who God has granted faith to can be saved, how much that makes God out to be a monster? It's as though, you know, I have a little 2-year-old toddler, and I say, Junior, we're out of wood. Go get some wood for the stove. He could toddle out there maybe and pick up a stick or something, but he's not going to load the wood box because he's not able. He can't do it. And so if faith is only granted to a specific group to be saved, and then God says He commands all men everywhere to repent, what is that but God mocking man? When God commands all men everywhere to repent, it implies that all men everywhere can repent. And God will give them the ability to repent. It's a matter of a will of their not repenting. And so we see that salvation is by grace through faith, But where does works come in? Not of works lest any man should boast. Well, in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, for we are his workmanship, a masterpiece, something that God has put together, something that God has made, created in Christ Jesus, created anew. We're a new creature unto good works, that after salvation, as James says, faith without works is dead. After salvation, I should desire, and from my life should be coming activity that's called good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so, salvation is by grace through faith. And then let me say, the salvation should not be considered a religious process that, you know, that I repent, and then later on I have faith, and later on my works come about, and that we grow up into being a Christian. We had a family come from Islesen one time, and they really liked our church and wanted to join, and so I sat down and find out, you know, where they're really at, and I asked the wife when she was saved, and she says, I've always been saved. That it was a process. She's always been saved. Well, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not a process. It's a point in time. Now, let me go back and say something again that I've said before, but as a 13-year-old boy, I understood my sinful condition. And I understood my need to embrace kiss the Son. I couldn't have vocalized or even it wasn't even inside this gray matter, the things that I've taught you about repentance and faith. But God was doing his work. That he was reproving me of sin and righteous judgment to come. The faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it didn't take a lot of the word of God to be engrafted into my life. That there can be a tendency to complicate salvation. Salvation is simply you surrendering your will to God and trusting in him, understanding your need of a Savior. And so, you know, the Pharisees were upset that this guy was going around that was once blind and now he could see. And they were questioning him. And you're saying that this Jesus healed you, and they were grilling him about who Jesus was and what went on here. And they were really trying to discredit Christ. And the blind man said, I don't know who he is or what he is. I don't know all about that. But I know that once I was blind and now I see. And so let's not complicate it, but let's not get away from what it really is. It's an intellectual assent. That a hatred for my sin and understanding of it and an abhorrence of it And the realization that I am in danger of losing my soul needs to be there. And it's simply turning to Him and trusting in Him. And it's kind of interesting how these lessons and what pastors have been preaching about leading children to the Lord, but so many good truths that He's bringing. But one of the major truths is that unless the Lord draws them, they're not going to be saved. And that when we get right down to it, we need to understand this: salvation is of the Lord. And you can trust as parents, preachers can trust as pastors that God is working. That He's convicting the world of sin, righteousness, judgment to come. And you can cry peace, peace every day. But where there is no peace, there's not any peace in your heart, because the Holy Spirit is not failing to do His work to convince the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And so a lot's been said because of some fallacies concerning those matters, and because of what we would say easy prayerism or easy believism. And as we saw the demonstration, actually, that the end of that video where Anderson led the guy to repeat after him, actually, if you analyze that, they were emphasizing the prayer that saves you instead of the Lord that saves you. And prayer is not, salvation is not in a prayer, but salvation is in the King who died in your place and asks you to repent of your sins and to trust in Him. Okay? We probably rode that dog enough, huh? But that's an important one.